Probably one of the most difficult times that I ever have in going to the pulpit is on this particular day, because there are so many things that are involved in it. But today I want to rejoice in the goodness of God, and I think that we should all rejoice in the presence of God in our hearts and in our lives. This Mother's Day 1980, as we go back memory lane, we also want to look forward with great joy and expectation to those things which God has in store for those who love Him. Because God first loved us, we know that the meaning of love has been expressed in the love that He has shown to those who have cared for us throughout the years of our lives. The scriptures point out one portion that I think we'd like to look to this morning for just a little while, and I'll only allude to it. But I'd like you to turn, first of all, to the Psalm 110. And apparently it has nothing to do with Mother's Day as such. 110 and verses 1 through 3. It says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." And then particularly verse 3, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth." I'd like you to think about that expression in the middle of there. It speaks about the beauty of holiness. There are so many things in this old world in which we live which are not so pretty. There are things which cause us to turn away and from in sheer horror because of the inhumanity of man to man. But there is nothing that is quite as expressive of love as the mother with a child. And if the mother is truly a mother, if she truly cares for the child, there's love that just simply reaches out far beyond any way of expression that we might find in, might come from these humble lips of ours. Our God has given us love and grace and mercy, and I've thought many times about the helplessness of the tiny babe. I thought, you know, in the animal world, it's a strange thing that a colt or a calf is born, or a kid is born, and in just a relatively few moments, it's able to be on its feet and go on from there. But then on the other hand, we see the human being giving birth to the mother, giving birth to the child, and then she must care for it for a long period of time until it's capable of caring for itself. But the importance of the nurturing is very simply explained and is very evident. The nurturing by the mother strengthens and prepares the child for all of those things which are before it. It's so sad when we see that many do not nurture and many do not care for their little ones. They do not strengthen them, they do not help them. And it's very true that in the matter of just 2 or 3 years, the quality of life, of the later life of the child, when it grows to young adulthood and then full adulthood and responsibility, has already been molded. The child has already been molded, has already been shaped, has already been strengthened. Or on the other hand, it has been weakened, and it faces the adversities of life without the meaning of love and grace and the meaning of the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ in his or her life. So we would like you to think concerning what God can do in and through your life. Now I know that many of you who are here are grandparents, some great-grandparents. Some of you do not have children of your own, but many of you have in some way or another been the mothers in the faith and have strengthened others that they might know of God and His grace and His goodness. So in so many ways, you ladies here, our mothers, whether or not you are tied to us with bloodline, because you do strengthen us and you do help us and you do show us the right way. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Many have said, but we have tried to train, we have sought, we have taught, we have done everything that seems to be humanly possible. And along the journey, it seems that these things have not always come out just the way we would want them to be. But then when we consider that the results of all of our, of a large portions of our labors are not always seen at the moment, when we realize that the things that we must often sow a seed and then wait for the time of harvest. I think that I often compare the slowness of training and development of the human being to the planting of the pecan tree. The pecan is a slow growing tree. It has to be planted, and there are a lot of things to be done to get it established. And it's many years before we begin to see the fruitage. And if you look often at a pecan tree, you notice that it's a bunch of branches here and there, and eventually it has to be shaped and molded to conform to a certain to the area where it is, and then it has to be fed and nurtured if it's to bring forth its fruitage. So it is with life. Train up a child in the way it should go. But I believe, if I may use again the expression from Psalm 110 and verse 3, that the beauty of holiness, the beauty of rightness, the beauty of righteousness has more influence upon us than most anything that can come into our lives. I think I have told you the story before about a lady who had a tremendous influence upon my life. This lady was not, she was not a mother, never became a mother, but yet she was a school teacher whose purpose was to bring a message in the lives of those she taught, that they might be prepared for those things which were before them. I can always remember that she was called the Witch of Fairview High. The Witch of Fairview High. She was one of these individuals who felt that when you came out of her class, that you would be prepared for life or you would never get out of her class. Oh, we didn't like her. We dreaded the idea. We came to the junior year in high school. And that we dreaded to think the assignment that we might get. And here it came up, I said, oh Lord, you know, we just don't allow me to get in Miss Baldwin's class. And that was a sort of a prayer among the juniors of the school. But all of a sudden you get that assignment and here, English 12, Miss Baldwin. Well, here we were. That lady had so much to do with the fact that we are here today, because she taught us that if we desired something, and even if we didn't desire something, if we had an ability, she was going to make sure that ability was developed and that desire became reality. And so she treated me to my first 3 experiences in public speaking, even though it was kind of, she did it in a roundabout way, but anyway, it happened. And for this, I have always been grateful. And so she had a tremendous influence upon me. Another person that had a lot of influence on me was a lady that we called Mom Brewer. She was a lady that later became my sister's mother-in-law. But nevertheless, that wasn't the relationship when all these other things were going on. But she was the one who was our dorm mother. Everybody called her Mom Brewer. She was mother to everyone. She wasn't, there were many times when her judgment was harsh. I recall one time getting in late. Shouldn't tell that, but anyway, getting in late, I was supposed to be inside the door at a certain time, and the door was locked. As the gong of the town clock struck, the door was locked. I was late. Just as I hit the front porch steps, it was time to close the door. She locked it. And had to go back and sit down, wait for a little while, and then go and ring the doorbell. And then she opened the door and let me in. I've always remembered that, be on time. I remembered the importance of being on time, that the 10 seconds could make a world of difference. But more than all that, she sat down and talked to the boys over and over and over again about the things that we would face out here in the ministry, here and there, wherever they are. Two of those young men of that time now are asleep in the dust of the earth, awaiting the coming of their Lord, but they served in their generation and had fallen asleep. But more than anything else, we accepted her counsel because of the beauty of holiness that surrounded her life. Another person that greatly influenced our life was my own mother, who died before she saw her 31st birthday. And she had given birth to 5 children and cared for them as best she could. But nevertheless, at the hour of her decease, she looked at my father, me at her bedside, and said very simply to my father, said, "Earl, take care of Dick. He will not be able to take care of himself because of the physical difficulties that I had at that time and have lived with from all that I've ever known of life." But from those words have come inspiration, have strengthened and helped me throughout my period of 40 years in the ministry. And I would like to tell you another story that's not one that is personal. Many years ago, and this is a true story, there were 2 daughters that went to China as missionaries. Now, we often think that we face affliction along the journey of life, but we seldom face anything in our day and age. But these 2 daughters went to China to serve as missionaries. And because they were bringing a different way of life in there, because they were not teaching things that were commonly understood among the people of that day, we note that those 2 daughters were murdered. The lady was, their home was in Australia. When the message finally was received by the mother that her 2 daughters had been murdered in China as they served there as missionaries, the story is told that without hesitation, she took a look at, as it were, at the lives of her daughters, and she realized that they had given their lives for a cause. She could have hated. She could have said, "I'll do anything that I can against those Chinese because of all that they've done to my daughter." And instead of that, she rose up from there. She booked passage to China. And she went there and served as a missionary to China for 30 years. And today, she lies buried at the side of her 2 daughters who gave their lives for the gospel's sake. I'd like you to turn back with me to the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the young man Timothy according to the 2nd book of Timothy and the 1st chapter. In this 1st chapter, the Apostle Paul is talking about his ministry and the importance of his ministry. And he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day, night, and day. I greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand." What was the key to the faith of Timothy? It wasn't that the Apostle Paul had been so faithful in his teaching, though I believe that he was. But I believe that Paul was only one of the instruments, only one of the instruments that was used to bring this young man, Timothy, to the point where he could be a preacher of the Word of God. Because he says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned or the faith that it has no measure of pretense in it. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that dwells in you also. Now if the grandmother Lois, and if the mother Eunice had said, oh, that's nothing. I believe the Apostle Paul probably met Lois and Eunice down at the riverside when they were laundering their clothes. But if Lois and Eunice had said, let's go to the riverside and let's go swimming, or let's go to the riverside and let's go fishing, or let's go down someplace and picnic in the park or whatever, or something else was more important than studying the Word of God and talking with this young man, Timothy, I doubt seriously that the young man, Timothy, would have learned anything about the faith of the mother and the grandmother. Rather, apparently, they taught him, but I believe that surrounding them was this beauty of holiness, this strength that could help them, help him and others. I believe that they rehearsed the things that were commonly believed among them. Memories, precious memories that I have, were of a mother reading the scripture, not alone to her family, but also to the neighbor children who came along the way, who joined her there as she sat in her rocking chair, and oft times as she was unable to sit up in the rocking chair, she would lie on her bed with a pillow under her arm and read the scriptures to the children that came along the way. She sewed buttons on their clothes. She repaired tears in their dresses. She combed their hair. She did all of these things, but the important thing was that as she was doing it all, she was dispensing the Word of God. And I believe that there's a message for us in this day, in this age in which we live. What the United States of America and the world needs today is very simply a godly mother. Now I say a godly mother, and I'm pointing this to you, or applying it, wanting you, each of you, to apply this to your life. I can be a godly person. More, I believe that the hand that rocks the cradle is yet the hand that rules the world. And if someone walks the wrong way, I believe that if the mother walks the wrong way, I believe that the children will walk along with her. I believe that if she walks the right way, not only the children, but the husband and the father is shown the proper way of life. And someday, perhaps when some of them come to their senses, they will follow her way. I recall the story of the lady in South Bend, Indiana, who is now dead. But anyway, she had a husband who was an alcoholic, a man who cursed and raved and ranted every time she would go to church, and took the children to church. But there came the day when she said, well, I've done everything that can be done. I've just done everything that can be done. And said she just finally laid it before the Lord, and she prayed, God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? And suddenly she said the first thing that came to her was peace of mind. First thing was peace of mind. So she had just sort of calmed down. So after a while she concluded that that was the first thing that she needed to do, just be calm. And then as she was praying later, she prayed and she found that she was sort of waiting upon the Lord to see if possibly the Lord might answer her. And then suddenly she realized, the next thing she said, instead of doing all this talking, she said, well, I just concluded I better keep my mouth shut. So she was calm, she kept her mouth shut. And so she went on, however, and prayed. She didn't jaw, she didn't cajole, she didn't turn and agitate, but she just went on. And when she just, when her husband said something about her getting ready to go to church and how ridiculous it was to go to church and take the children to church, she just went on to do it. She didn't say a word. And he kind of started looking at her. Well, what in the world is wrong? She isn't saying anything. She's calm. She isn't jawing back at me. And so he began to calm down, and he wasn't jawing. And then she said she prayed, and one day she'd gone to Sunday school with the church with the children. And it came church time, and said she was sitting there, and all of a sudden somebody tapped her on the shoulder, and she looked up, and it was her husband. She said, "I almost fainted. I didn't know what to do." She said, suddenly she realized the importance of laying it before God. And I believe, folks, today, this is what we need to do. We all need to commit our lives more fully to the God, may I say it in two ways, the God of our mothers and the God of our fathers. And if we're to lead someone along the journey of life, lead them to find a blessing in this present day and age. We lead them as we are led of God. We lead as we are led of God. But more than all else, when the beauty of God's holiness surrounds us, when the beauty of God's holiness strengthens us, when the beauty of God's holiness illuminates a pathway, our pathway, then the beauty of God's holiness will illuminate the pathway of life that others might walk upon it. So today we pray for godly mothers in this land. We pray for mothers who will lead their children. We pray for mothers who will rock in a godly way, will rock their children. We pray for godly mothers who will direct their husbands and their homes. And even though men like to think that they're strong and that they are able to do anything that might come along that might confront them, yet we say very simply and very plainly that back of every good man is a good woman. And so we just trust that God will lead you, and that in the beauty of holiness you will walk before Him, be strengthened by Him to serve Him as you await the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we trust that you will have within you that unfeigned faith, that faith that will strengthen you, that will help you to live as God would want you today and to live today. That when Jesus does come again, we may be privileged to enter into life everlasting and share a time of everlasting reunion with God, with Jesus Christ, and with our families, our mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and our family in the faith in the kingdom of God. May God bless you in an abundant way till He comes again.